This is just what I hear the Lord saying to you. It's this: walk closely with me, son. Walk closely with me, for I have some things for you just ahead. I have some matters that I want you to attend to that are just ahead. And you need to listen to me, and you need to lean into me, and you need to attend closely to what I'm going to be saying to you. Because if you just lean to your own understanding, you're going to miss my will, and you're going to miss my way, and you're going to go astray. But instead, lean into me, listen to me, attend to my words, and you'll get it right. And you'll be able to work with me, and I'll be able to work through you and accomplish my will and my plan in the earth, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for Andre that he would be strengthened with your power, your mighty power in his inner man. And that as a result of that strengthening, Father, that he would be well able to stand and well able to fulfill what you have for him to do. And that he would be your man, he would be your guy in this hour and in this time. And he'd be able to speak for you, and you'd be able to speak through him, and you'd be able to work through him, and he'd be working for you, and together the will of God will be accomplished. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for your power that's upon him, your anointing, your presence upon him. We thank you for it. We thank you that your power abides within him, and that the anointing that is within him teaches him and enables him to know all things, everything that he needs to know. And for every circumstance and every situation that he finds himself in, there's answers from heaven. There's answers from heaven. There are words from heaven, and there's direction and guidance from heaven. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise God. Well, we can stand, and we're going to dismiss all the young people, those of you who go to Kids Light, Kids Link, and OPONS. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated if you will. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's pray concerning our service. Father, we're so thankful for you tonight. Thankful for your word. We're thankful for your spirit who lives within us, who indwells us, who leads us and guides us. We thank you so much for the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we look to you tonight to teach us, to tutor us in your word, and to reveal to us the things that we need to see. We ask you to bring light to the eyes of our heart, enlighten the eyes of our heart, bring understanding to us in new and in fresh ways tonight, so that we can see what we haven't seen, and that we can hear what we haven't heard, and we can know what we haven't known before. We ask you, Father, to reveal something afresh and anew to us tonight. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight I'm going to start on what I think is going to be a two-part series, but we'll see how we go here. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about something I find very interesting, something that's become fresh and new to me recently. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about the secret of dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. The secret to dealing with the greatest difficulty in your life. Are any of y'all interested in hearing about this? This is really something that I've seen, and just want to share it with you because we need to learn to deal with the greatest difficulty in our life. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm not really sure what the greatest difficulty in my life is. Tonight, who thinks the greatest difficulty in your life is the devil? There's a couple of takers on that one. The greatest difficulty in your life is the devil. Well, I'm just going to tell you that I know it feels like the greatest difficulty in your life is the devil, but in reality, the devil really is not a difficulty for us at all. The reason being that Jesus himself took care of the devil. He took care of Satan and all his forces. The Bible tells us in Colossians, it said that Jesus, that he... He spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, and he made a show of them, the Bible says, made a show of their defeat openly and triumphed over them. And so the reality is that this, even if the devil might give you trouble from time to time, he is a defeated foe. And really, once you learn how to deal with him and know how to deal with him, he's not the greatest difficulty that you might face. Now, I wonder what the greatest difficulty is that we might face. Maybe it's other people. You know, I mean, I know I've met many pastors who said they would just love pastoring if it wasn't for all the people in their church. And, you know, sometimes you do feel like it's other people, but really, other people are not the greatest difficulty that you might encounter. Certainly, they might annoy you. Certainly, they might be a distraction for you, but the reality is, you aren't responsible for other people. You're not in charge of other people. That might be fresh revelation for some of you tonight. You don't have to answer for other people's actions or behaviors. That's really not your deal. So then what would be the greatest difficulty in your life? And some of you know because I've been seeing you point to it. The greatest difficulty in your life is you. Now, a young man, a minister, came to John Wesley. Do y'all know who John Wesley was? Became the founder of the Methodist Church. And John Wesley was a man that in his time, he had such radical ideas. And when he would teach and preach, it would, just struck people in such a way that a lot of people got angry. And because of that, he was highly persecuted. He endured trouble and, you know, problems from people and situations. And so when he was an elderly minister, a young minister came to him and he said, you know, Brother Wesley, I would like to know what has been the greatest problem of your life, thinking that it was this persecution or this trouble or this situation or that thing. And he was going to ask him, how did you get through that? And so he's asking him, what's the most difficult thing you've had to deal with? And quickly, without even thinking or contemplating for a moment or trying to figure out, no, which one was it? John Wesley said this. He said, the most difficult thing in my life? Well, that's me. Everything else has been a piece of cake in comparison to me. And really, that's the truth for all of us. The greatest difficulty you face is dealing with you. And if you could deal with you well and get you in order, so to speak, then things would be a lot better, probably. You know, the problem with you is this. It's your wrong thinking and your wrong attitude and your wrong believing and the wrong words you speak and your wrong actions and your quirks and shortcomings and weaknesses and frailties. Those things are what really cause you problems in life. I was just, Matt and I were talking today, and I was talking about an acquaintance of ours, somebody that we know, who at one point in their life was really miserable, they were just miserable. And every time I'd see him or he'd see him, they'd tell us, you know what, I'm going to make this change in my life that's going to fix everything. I'm going to move. And when I move, things are going to be a lot better. Things are going to work out for me when I move. The problem is where I am right now. When I move, I'm moving to this other place, this other city. And when I move, you know, that's it. And they couldn't wait. It took them a long time to get everything in order so they could move. But when I move, boy, things are going to be better. Well, then they moved. Well, after they moved, I talked to them, got a report from them. I'd get a report every so often from them. You know what? They felt better for about 3 days. And then it was amazing. The same problems that they had here, they had when they moved. The same struggles they had when they were here, they had them there. The same problems that I heard about all the time when they were here, lo and behold, when they were there, same deal. Because wherever you go, there you are. And you take you with you. And since you're the greatest difficulty you face, you're taking your greatest difficulty. You might leave the people, you might leave the location, but you take something with you that can be very difficult. And if you're having problems here, you're going to have them wherever you go. It's like people that are in a marriage and they think, if I get out of this marriage, everything's going to be better. And they get out of this marriage and they get into another one and they have the same problems. Because, ever thought it might be you? There might be something you're contributing to the mess. Well, the greatest difficulty that any of us would ever face is dealing with ourselves. And so tonight I'm going to share with us and begin to share some secrets or a secret to dealing with the greatest difficulties that you face, which would be the greatest difficulties you cause yourself. You know, there's a big section. We could go over, you know, go down Washington Road here to Books A Million or go over to Borders or Barnes and Nobles, all my favorite places. We could go there tonight and we could walk up and down the aisles. But one of the biggest sections in any bookstore is a section called self-help books. Have any of you ever looked in the self-help books? Well, you can go in those self-help books. Boy, they have some very, I mean, the promises that the covers of those books make are amazing. You look through there and you think, you know, and I have to tell you, I'm one of those people, I think a book can fix anything. You know, it's, you got a problem, let's go to the bookstore. If you don't have any problems, let's go to the bookstore. You know, it's kind of a problem we have in our family. We just love books. And so, and somehow or another, that book and that title and those crisp pages, that offers the promise of this is going to fix everything. Very interesting things you can find in self-help books. But, you know, the reality is self-help is kind of a ridiculous concept. Because the help you need isn't found in yourself. You know, Oprah, which, you know, God bless Oprah. But Oprah has made millions and millions and millions of dollars off of promoting other self-help gurus. And, you know, to hear her tell it, this guy fixed this and this person fixed that and that person fixed this for her. But the reality is the help we need is not in Oprah's self-help gurus. And the help that we need is not in ourselves. We need help, all right. Facing difficulties and the greatest difficulty, which is ourself, but it's not found there. But you know, I'm so thankful tonight that we have more in us than just us. And you have more in you than just you. Because we have the helper himself living in us. So instead of looking for self-help, we can look for his help. We can look for the Holy Spirit's help. So really, what I'm going to be talking about tonight and next week, and hope, you know, maybe I'll get through with it by the next time I speak or whatever, but what I'm going to be talking about is how to get help from Him and the help that you need in dealing with you. And I think there's some things you're going to see maybe in a fresh way. First thing I want you to do is turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because I want to look at a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 14, and we're really going to just delve into this scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because we need some help tonight. We need really to deal with ourselves. And I tell you, any problem you're having, you can trace it back and trace it back to you somewhere. And so tonight we're looking into this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 4, it says this. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Now, that's what I want us to look at. And first of all, let me just say this. When the Bible talks about he who speaks in a tongue, it's talking about speaking in tongues. Speaking in other tongues is talking about speaking in the languages of the Spirit. It's referring to what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which basically you read, you know, the first chapter of the book of Acts, and you see when this experience first came in the life of believers. And then Paul writes a lot about it in his writings. It's all the way through the book of Acts. It's practiced or experienced by people in different ways. But anyway, basically it's talking about the Holy Spirit who comes within all of us when we're saved. I mean, you can't be born again unless the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. He comes to live inside of you. But then what Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit who's within you, He fills you up until He flows out upon you. And the word baptized means to be immersed. So if you look at it like instead of God coming in you, you just look at like you've been dunked in God, like you've been pushed down completely in Him. But really what happens is what's in you, the Holy Spirit is within you, He comes out and sort of drowns you in Himself. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, we see in the scriptural examples of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every time somebody was baptized in the Holy Spirit, they had the evidence of speaking in tongues. That was always part of the experience of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I'm not talking about anything that's, you know, way outlandish or strange. I'm talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's what Paul's talking about here when he says, he who, you know, is baptized in the Holy Spirit and practices that, really getting, you know, the gifting of speaking in tongues, And it's for every person. It's not for special believers that God just has pity on or favor on, or somebody who's extra sweet or extra nice or good. It's for every believer, everybody who believes. It's a gift from God. But anyway, he says here, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about this word edifies, because this word edifies, we've talked a lot about in our church. We've talked about it, and we talk about it when we teach on the Holy Spirit, lots of things we talk about. But this word edifies means to build up. Now, we're going to look at that, but I want you to know it doesn't just mean to build up. There's a lot of other things that are in this word edifies, but we're going to start tonight with building up, because the word edify means to build up, and I want to talk about what that means. One thing I've told you many times is that it means, you know, it has the sense of, you know, like when your cell phone runs down, the battery's depleted in your cell phone, you plug in your cell phone and it's recharged. And everybody has that experience. Mike, you don't have on your little earpiece here tonight. Lots of times you see Mike, he's got his, what do you call that? When your phone is in your ear? Bluetooth, yeah, he has that little head. Y'all see people like that? You'll be walking through the airport. It's so funny when you go to the airport, everybody's talking to themselves. And when you walk through the airport, everybody you see is talking. Nobody's talking to each other. They're all talking on these things in their ears, these headsets. Anyway, when your battery runs down in your cell phone, you have to plug it in and recharge it. My iPod, when the battery's depleted, I have to plug it in and let it be recharged. My car, I have a hybrid, and whenever my battery is run down, it ignites the engine to replenish that battery. It charges it up. It edifies it. And so one thing that happens when you speak in an unknown tongue, when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, however you want to say it, you are charging yourself up in that same sense. Spiritually, it's like being plugged in. It's something happening. So we've talked about that a lot, but let's just kind of go a little bit further than that. He who speaks in an unknown tongue. Now, it means to build. Edify means to build. He who speaks in an unknown tongue builds himself. He builds himself. Now, Smith Wigglesworth said this. Smith Wigglesworth was a man that lived. He died back in the middle of World War II, so he lived at the first part of the last century and the end of the century before. But he had an amazing ministry. He didn't really get saved and get going in ministry until he was, you know, an older man. But once he got going in life, he took the world by storm. I mean, he was a plumber, lived in Scotland and England, lived in England mostly, and really just lived a plumber's life until a time in his life where he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that just radically changed him. As he, you know, was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he'd never read before, and he learned to read after that. And then once he learned to read, he would only read the Bible. But he would read the Bible and he'd pray in the Spirit, and God just did miraculous things through him. I talked about him several weeks ago, and just reading about him the other day. And this author was saying that through his ministry, it's documented that 22 people were raised from the dead. And I don't mean like raised from the dead in the sense that they're there and, you know, they don't breathe and he says in the name of Jesus, come back. And then, you know, 30 seconds later, they take a breath. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have been embalmed and in a casket for 3 days. Those kind of people being raised from the dead, just like, you know, Lazarus kind of stuff. Just out there. Well, this man had just tremendous power in his life. Well, this guy, he said this. He said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Now, I don't know what you think of yourself spiritually. You know, we all have different ideas of what we're like on the outside. But what about on the inside? What are you like on the inside? Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Like if you could see the real me, I'm a giant. Well, the bigger you are spiritually, so to speak, you know, the larger your spiritual capacity, the larger your capacity for receiving from God, the larger your capacity for flowing with God and working His works, and really the larger your capacity for God's power and His ability to work in your life. And so when he said that, I see there's a real correlation between him seeing himself as such a, on the inside, such a big spirit person and the power of God flowing through him. Speaking in tongues plays a vital role in your spiritual development and in really in your, in, you know, building your spirit. Now, Building is an interesting concept, just the whole concept of building something, because building is something that if you look at it and you examine it, building is something that just by nature of the of what it is, of the process, is it takes time. You don't, you know, the saying Rome wasn't built in a day. But I mean, there's a whole lot in that because, you know, I was going to bring weights tonight and I went off and forgot them because I was going to have one of you come up and lift weights. But instead, I don't have any weights, so you'll just have to bear with me. But you know, if tonight I had some 20 pound weights here and I was up here and I was doing curls with these 20 pound weights, I could do 10, but you know, that doesn't mean that tomorrow I'm going to have the biggest muscles that anybody could have. I might feel like that I do, but I wouldn't. It takes time to build muscle. Any of y'all ever done any weight training? It takes the time to build muscle. Have you noticed that? Now, you might be, you know, I know somebody that they like to get in shape in one day. Like, they're going to start some kind of program. Well, they start today, and they're going to do it all today. Now, they can't move tomorrow, because I'm really sore the next day. But if we're going to do it, man, let's get it all done today. You know, Matt's not like that. Matt, he will start and he'll ease into it. And I'm like, no, you got to do a lot more. You need heavier weights. What are you doing? You're only doing 10 reps. You ought to be doing 30, three sets of 10. You got. And he's like, Susie, just stop it, because I know how you are. Tomorrow you won't be able to walk. You'll be going, It's true. But Matt, he just eases into it. But because he understands this is going to take time. Any of y'all ever build a house? Whoa. You know, building a house takes time. My little brother, he was building his house, and he had this great notion. He's going to build a house, and had it all timed out exactly. So he's selling his house, and he's going to have to be out of his house by the end of June, and they're going to move into his house, you know, the new house that he's built. He's got it all planned out. He's got these little kids, and he's got it all just well timed. Well, it came to about the second week in June, and it became apparent. He kept thinking they're going to be in that house, but it, you know, well, they moved in over at my mom's, which is basically moving in with us. And then here he is living there. And they were there through June. They were there through July. And they were there through August. And they were there through September. And they were there through October. And, you know, one day I thought, Matt and I were having a talk. I said, Matt, I think he's going to just live here forever. I mean, he loves this, comes over and grills with us every night, and he's got nanny cooking. I don't think he's ever going to leave. One day his wife said, I'm moving, you can stay here if you want. But that building that house, it still wasn't finished. I don't think it's finished now. That's been 2 years. You know, there's always just something that's got to be done. Building can take a long time. It just depends on what you're building, but building isn't an instant process. Building, and the Bible says, and this is kind of a different way to look at it, because it says that when you speak in an unknown tongue, you're building yourself. Well, I've thought of it as charging up myself, you know, at a time maybe my battery's drained, I need to be recharged. But this is kind of a longer term application, that when I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues, I am building something. I'm building myself. And you might say, well, what do you mean you're building yourself? Well, I don't know about you, but there are lots of things I'm wanting to build. I'm wanting to build a life. I'm wanting to build a marriage. I'm wanting to build a family. I'm wanting to build a ministry. I'm wanting to build, you know, you might be wanting to build a career. You might, I mean, there's all kinds of things that we have to build. Well, one very big key to building things in our lives is praying in the Spirit. In that process of praying in the Spirit, we're building things. We're building things in our lives. I mean, if, for instance, your marriage. If you're building your marriage and there's times where your marriage needs particular care or particular nurturing or particular attention, or maybe with your kids or some area of your life, part of what you should devote to that is time to pray in the Spirit. Because as you pray in the Spirit, you are building there. It's actual time of building. Now, it's not physical building, but you know what? It's a lot more important than physical building. It's spiritual building. It's not just natural building. And it's so interesting how we will devote ourselves to things like natural building, things that are tangible, and we don't see the value in spiritual building. But natural things are temporary. they're subject to change and they're going to pass away. But things that you build spiritually don't pass away. They are eternal. They have eternal value and they endure. And so it's much more important to actually build things in the Spirit and to apply this principle of building something by praying in the Spirit, building on, you know, building up whatever it is in your life that needs to be built up. It takes really a lot of effort. It takes a discipline in your life, but it's worth it because you're building something that's gonna endure. Now, in Psalm 127, the psalmist said this. He said, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Y'all heard that scripture? There's several interesting parts of that scripture to me. Well, first of all, house. That word house, you know, obviously can refer to a natural house. It can refer to the Lord's house, like a church or a particular, you know, a physical building. But it doesn't just refer to that. Really, it can refer to your life. It can refer to your family, your home, your marriage, your business, your career, your ministry. It can refer to your purpose in life. It can refer to anything that you're looking to build. And right here, we're warned, really. This is a warning to us. Unless the Lord builds the house, they build it in vain. They labor in vain. And really, it's a warning that unless we have God's ability working in us, unless we have God's, you know, God-given spiritual ability that we're, you know, using to build, the reality is all of our effort that we do put forth, our physical, natural effort, our mental effort, all of it is in vain. One thing that's so interesting about this scripture to me, it doesn't say unless the Lord build the house will never be built. It says unless the Lord builds the house, so meaning they labor in vain, meaning that the house can be built without the Lord building it. The house can be built. You can build a career. You can build a family. You can build a marriage. You can build a ministry without God being in it, without God building it, without Spirit building going on. You can build it. You can build a business. You can build anything yourself if you put forth enough effort. But what a shame that you put all the effort, all the energy, all the mental energy, all the emotional energy into something, all the money, all the resources into building something, and it all be for nothing. It all be in vain. So you can spend time, and that's kind of a scary if you think about it, that you can actually, just because something's being built doesn't mean God's in it, doesn't mean that the Spirit is building it, doesn't mean that there's something being built that's of God and that it will endure. I mean, I've seen plenty of things that look good, that look strong, that look like they could withstand, that look like they would endure, and they just fell flat in a moment. Have you? I think Representative Mark Foley has had that experience recently. Had this promising career in the House of Representatives. It's gone. I've seen plenty of ministers that had great works, it seemed like, and it was gone in a moment. But our lives, your marriage, can we just drift it apart? We don't love each other anymore. Any kind of thing can come along and take out something that God didn't build. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it, they labor in vain. Now, it's not that you only tap into the Spirit when you're attempting to build what you can't build. The reality is, you can build something in your own, but if you don't tap into God's supernatural power when you're building something, even though, you know, sometimes we think, let me just say it this way. Sometimes we get the idea that this is how grace works. This is what God's power is for. When I find something I can't do, then I call on the Lord. When I get in a difficult situation, I cry out, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus. And He comes and helps me. Whenever I find something I can't do, I lean hard on His ability. And this is sort of our concept, our way of living, our thinking, you know, about it. But that's wrong thinking. That's a wrong way of living because we don't just wait until we find something we can't do to call on Him. We don't just wait until we are, you know, up against something that we lack ability to do. We have to practice building by the Spirit, even when it's something we could build by the flesh. And what am I saying about all that? If we don't practice praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit on a regular, continual basis in our life, that is what enables us to build by the Spirit. That is the tap in. You know, that's the key. That's the hookup with the Spirit. That's what Paul was saying here. One of the things he was saying is when you pray in the Spirit, you're building things in your life. You're building yourself. You're building. He who speaks in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. He builds himself up. And in that idea that he was conveying, the idea he was conveying was that there's a building that takes place. It's not just for a moment. It's not just temporary relief. It's not just get the pressure off of me. It's not just help me figure out how to untie this knot. It is a building that's going on. And building isn't done in a moment. And building isn't just about help me figure out how to fix this little problem. It's an ongoing, continual, long-term endeavor. And he's saying here, building yourself up. One way you do it, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Zechariah, and I think a lot of you know that scripture where he said, the Lord said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Because you have might and you have power. You have ability. Let's don't kid ourselves. You actually do have abilities. If nothing else, you have great manipulative abilities. You have great charm about you, maybe. Maybe you have some intellect. Everybody's got something they've been dealt that they could use to build with. If it's natural strength, it might be mental strength. It might be just, you know, like I said, sheer charm. You got something you can build with. But building, really, of the Spirit comes as you pray in tongues. Because what happens as you pray in tongues is you tap into divine ability. As you pray in tongues, you get out beyond your own thinking and your own mind. See, when I pray in the Spirit, what I'm doing is not affected by my mind or my own ability. My own physical ability is not taken over. A lot of times when you pray in tongues for a period of time, you might even get weak a little bit physically. I don't mean you diminish in your strength. I just mean you might get a little woozy or something. It doesn't necessarily really fire you up physically. And when you pray in the Spirit, your mind is not being fruitful. So your understanding, the Bible says, is unfruitful. That means that it's not like your mind is. You're applying all the things that you've learned and all the things that you know and all the knowledge that you have. That's not what's taking place. And, you know, all the tricks your uncle taught you and all the stuff, you know, you learned down in the, you know, down at the Smoking Barrel in junior high. All that stuff is not what's being applied here. What's being applied is spiritual understanding is coming. And things will come up inside of you, things you don't know on your own, things that are God's knowledge, His guidance, the things that the Holy Spirit knows. And those things will come up in you. And so you might do things in very different than you would do on your own if you weren't praying in the Spirit. And now part of the idea of this building is that we are called to build up one another. The Bible talks about we should encourage each other daily. But you can't build somebody else up if you're not built up yourself. There's plenty of people, they're out trying to build up people and they don't have anything to build up anybody with. There's plenty of ministers trying to minister to people. You have to be ministered to yourself. To have to share with somebody else, you have to have something yourself. So really that's part of it. When you are praying in the Spirit, it's building you up. It's building you long term and it's building you up even for now so you would have something for somebody else. Now I'm going to tell you, if you have an interest in ministering to people, in encouraging people, in building other people up, in some way winning somebody, giving life to somebody. If you have an interest in God using you in the gifts of the Spirit, words of wisdom, prophecy, working of miracles, anything like that, I'm going to tell you the number one thing I could tell you, the big key to the whole thing, praying in the Spirit. As you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up and really it gets you in that flow. And you know, you're giving movement to the Spirit of God who's within you by praying in tongues. And as you do that, it really opens you up to share with other people. You know, I as far as ministering to other people, having a word of wisdom or word of knowledge or a prophecy for somebody, that happened through me in times of prayer before it ever happened in church, before it ever happened in my office, before it ever happened with somebody one-on-one. It happened to me in times of prayer. And that's really where it comes from. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm sure Matt will hardly agree with this, if I don't spend any time praying in the Spirit, and that's kind of on the back burner, and all I do, I study the Word, but I don't pray in the Spirit, it's much less likely that I'm going to have any flow of the Spirit. Would you say that's true? You know, it's much less likely that you're going to have a manifestation of a gift of the Spirit, or that you're going to have God speak through you in some way, or work through you, or, you know, minister in some way. But when you do, these things come up because you're given room to it, and you're building yourself up so you have something to give. It's just like a battery, you know. Would it make any sense if your car battery ran down? Would it make any sense for you to pull up next to another guy whose car battery's run down and get a jump? Does that sound like a good idea? Now, Tony, I know you're not a great mechanic, but you know better than that, don't you? I mean, if your car battery's run down, aren't you looking for somebody who actually has a charged battery to jump your car off? Gary, tell me. I don't know a lot, but do you think that makes sense? Well, that's the same way. How are you, if you're run down, going to be much use to somebody else? If they need a jump from you, you better have some energy there. You better be built up yourself. And yes, time in the Word is important, but don't neglect praying in the Spirit. Don't neglect this in your life. Now, here's another meaning of that word, edifies. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, we just heard, builds himself. But now another meaning of that word, edifies, it means builds. But another thing that it means is this, to kindle. He that speaks in an unknown tongue kindles himself. Now, let's talk about that, kindling, kindles, K-I-N-D-L-E, kindle, kindling. Now, when I think of kindling, I always think of fire. And really, when you kindle something, really what you're doing is we use that word kindle in the sense of you're starting something, you're igniting something. And kindling what wood is wood that's good to start, starter wood. Well, really, when you pray in tongues, you're kindling yourself. It means to kindle. You're starting something. You're igniting something. I think this is going to help some of you particularly tonight, because to kindle means to kindle a fire, to ignite a fire, to throw wood on a fire that's maybe died back, and you're rekindling it by throwing wood on it to keep it burning. And John, y'all remember John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus? And he said of Jesus, when he was preaching and telling about Jesus who was to come, and he said this about him in Matthew 3:11. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Not just with the Holy Spirit, but there was something more that came with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit and fire. And I know we don't necessarily talk a lot about this particular aspect, but when the Bible talks about, when Paul was writing and said you would edify yourself, you would ignite yourself, there would be a fire stirred up within you as you prayed in the Spirit, as you speak in other tongues. Now, we're talking about dealing with you. And we just talked about how you need to build yourself up, and if you want to build your life, you're going to have to discipline yourself to pray in the Spirit. Well, now we're talking about igniting something in yourself. Igniting the passion for God, maybe igniting something in yourself. Now, when you speak in tongues, it ignites the fire of God within you, and it'll keep you, if you continue praying in tongues, it'll keep you hot for God. It'll keep you from growing cold. I'm not talking about one time, one day. I'm talking about this is about an ongoing daily practice of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues on a regular, ongoing, continual basis in your life. One reason to do it is because it kindles you. It ignites something in you. It keeps something burning in you. And if you're kind of dying back, it'll reignite it. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul writing to Timothy, and he said that, and this is in the Amplified Version, he said, that is why I would remind you to stir up, he even uses this word, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. He said to him to stir up the gift that's in you. He told him, rekindle the embers of it. Fan the flame. Keep it burning. How do you do that? How do you stir up the gift of God that's in you? Whatever gifts God's put in you, how do you stir it up? You do it. One of the major ways that you stir up what God has put in you, whatever gift it is, whatever gifting, and there's all kinds of gifts and all kinds of things we could talk about. But let me just say that whatever God's put in you, the way you stir it up is by praying in other tongues. It'll stir up spiritually what's in you. I don't mean stir it up like mix it up and make a mess of it or beat it down. I mean stir it like it'll ignite it. Now see, here's the thing. The people who are in this room tonight, there are incredible gifts in every one of us. Some of those gifts are lying dormant. Some of those gifts are undiscovered. But inside of you is an awesome gift. You might not realize it. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. There is something that is awesome inside of you. God put it there. One of the neatest things is to see gifts manifest through people, is to see people using their gifts, developing in their gifts. Without a doubt, it's the most thrilling thing in the life of a pastor to see somebody get saved, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and find out that God put something awesome in them and start using it for the kingdom of God. It is so wonderful. Every one of us have something like that in us. Every one of us. Now yours might vary from the guy next to you, which is wonderful because we don't all have the same gift. That makes it much more interesting. So we all have these different gifts. How do we go about stirring up those gifts? Praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues. Now I had a gift to teach and I didn't really ever see it. I looked back through my life and it was definitely there, but I never recognized it. I never knew I was called to ministry. Matt knew he was called to ministry from the moment he got saved. Me, I was totally against it. And when he told me he was called to the ministry, I talked him out of it. No, we're getting married. You're not going to be doing that. Get something else. So he got something else as long as he could until finally one day after I prayed in the Spirit and prayed in the Spirit and prayed in the Spirit and prayed in the Spirit, it became obvious to me that something was in me that I hadn't tapped into. And, you know, over time, that has been stirred up, it's been ignited and it's burned and it's gotten much brighter inside there. Now I know. Now I can see. There's things in you. If you're wondering, what's God's purpose for my life? I'm not really sure I've ever got into what it was He had for me. I know there's more in there, and I'm not quite sure how to get it out. I see this glimmer. I see this thing, but I'm not sure how I'm ever going to get there. I'm going to give you some really good advice. Pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit. And pray in the Spirit. Don't try to analyze your dreams. Don't look for a soothsayer. Don't try to get a word. Don't be going to the palm reader. Don't be, you know, reading your horoscope. Pray in other tongues. Because that, in that praying, it will ignite whatever it is that God's put in you. It will stir it up and it'll start burning until it burns out of you. It just comes out. It'll burn till the flames come out of you, so to speak. And that'll help you too. It'll burn through the fear that's keeping you from it. Lots of times you actually know there's something in there. You have an inkling of what it is, but you have a great fear that's keeping it down, keeping it dormant. But the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn through that fear. And it'll enable you to step out and be who it is God's made you to be. And I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing better Nothing better than being who God made you to be. I mean, people are looking for satisfaction. There ain't no satisfaction like doing what God made you to do. There just isn't. Now, maybe you have an inkling of something or an idea of something. How am I going to get there from here? I tell you, I don't know how you're going to get there from here. But the one who does know is inside of you. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying. He's enabling you to pray. He is giving you words to pray that are the perfect will of God and that are the exact path that you need to follow to get there. That's all part of it. And as you pray, you're just praying out the plans of God for you. Your path, and then you'll see. Then you'll see, and then you'll know how to get there. I mean, it took Matt and I used to sit around and go, how do you start a church? You do realize that most churches in this city and most churches of people, you know, were not started like this church. We don't have all these things you're supposed to have. We just had a call from God and we started a church. I mean, you should see us when we tell people we started a church, and they go, how do you do that? And we're like, I'm not really sure. I still don't really know how to do it. You knew that. But it doesn't really matter. It came as we built the church by the Spirit and as we kindled something from within us. And if something, you know, if you feel yourself getting cold spiritually, ever had kind of a stagnant time spiritually, ever felt cold, kind of chilly, cooling off, you're not as, you know what you need to do? You need to devote yourself to some time of praying in the Spirit. You can come up for prayer. You can call us, come in, have a little session with us. You can call your express leader and tell them, I just ain't feeling it. But all of that really, you know, it's going to only help a little, you know, it's going to help a measure. What could help you tons and tons is to do what the Bible says, kindle yourself by praying in the Spirit. I like that. Stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning this gift, that inner fire. How do you do it? You do it by praying in other tongues, praying in the Spirit. Now, how is it you can just stay on fire for God? How can you stay on? One way is through praying in tongues. And what it does for you is it keeps you from getting bored spiritually. Now, I've been around long enough to see people get bored spiritually. And when you get bored spiritually, you become a target for deception and you become a target for the enemy. When, you know, getting somebody saved is no longer on the top of your to-do list, and when, you know, seeing somebody touched by the power of God no longer thrills you like it used to, you know you're getting bored spiritually. When, you know, living for changed lives is no longer, you know, it's not doing it for you like it used to, then you're getting bored spiritually. And that's when people start looking for something else. And when they start looking for something else, there is an enemy who will accommodate you. And he'll come up with all kinds of, you know, just nifty new doctrines and nifty new ideas and nifty new studies you can do where you go in and you just delve into that. And that's how people get hyper spiritual. Where really, you know, they're more interested in some doctrine that's over here than they are in getting people saved, than they are in getting people healed or set free and getting people baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you're more interested in some doctrine over here than you are in the gospel, then you're whacked out. Something's wrong with you. And somewhere along the way, you got bored spiritually and you opened yourself up for deception. If Jesus isn't exciting to you, then you need to do something. What should you do? You should pray in the Spirit. And He will rekindle within you a fire for Jesus, for the gospel, and for the purpose of the kingdom. Another thing, when you pray in other tongues, it keeps you burning hot in the direction that God has for you, so you won't go off in a different direction. People do this. They are going in a direction, you know, doing something for a long time. Some people by nature seem to have this problem greater than others. Some people are real comfortable in the rut of life. You know what I'm saying? You get something and you stay with it. Matt's dad, he got out of college, he got a job at 3M. And he worked at 3M for 33 years, and then he retired. He was in a rut. Many days, I'm sure, he went in that company and thought, you know, I wish I didn't work here. I hate my job. I hate this thing. But he stayed with it, and it's really worked out well for him and their family. But now there's other people. They have a new job every 9 months. Their resume is 7 pages long. Their list of former churches is 7 pages long. Their marriages, their list of marriages. But they go from one thing to another to another. They get bored. They get not just bored, but they get out. They don't stay in a direction good. If you pray in tongues, it'll keep you in God's direction. And I tell you, God's direction, it takes time to build what He wants you to build. And it's going to take some time. And there's going to be some days you might not like it. And there may be some days you go to work, or there may be some days you get up and you're married, or there may be some days that there are just things happening that you're not that thrilled with it. But that doesn't mean it's time for a change. It means there's time to hold steady. Maybe you should pray in the Spirit. It'll keep you settled down, going where you need to be going. And then another thing that this kindling, keeping kindled up and by praying in the Spirit, is it keeps you hot in serving God in whatever position He has you serving, whether it's serving as a mom or a father or a husband or a wife, serving in the church, serving on your job, serving, you know, as a husband or wife, whatever it is God has for you doing, it'll not just keep you there, but it'll keep you hot about it. You know how you get real excited about something and you're just after it and this is the greatest thing, and then after a while it's not as exciting, and it's just, you know, well, whatever, and you know, and I've done that, been there, done that, you know. Well, that needs to change. And the thing that keeps you hot in whatever it is He has you doing, praying in the Spirit, it'll keep you hot. If you pray, I'm telling you, you might have been an usher for 5 years, but if you'll pray in the Spirit before you serve, if you spend some time on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, praying about tomorrow, I'm going over there to the church, I don't know what I'm going to be facing, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit about that. And you be praying in the Spirit, you'll come in, you'll be charged up, you'll be built up, and you'll be on fire about being an usher. Or you can just think, oh yeah, I'm an usher tomorrow. I was real excited when they first asked me, but oh, now I got to do that again. We got to be early, but you really, you know, you get here late and you come dragging in. Oh yeah, you're not going to put me in the corner handing out bulletins, are you? Well, you're not hot anymore. So that's one thing praying in the Spirit does, is it keeps you stirred up, keeps you hot in whatever it is God's called you to do. That's kindling. Now, I'm going to close because I'm out of time, but I got to finish this one thing. I tell you, I wish I had gotten to number three, because number three is so good. And you needed it. But I'll tell you on the way home. Actually, I needed it, so you can share it with me. I just want to tell you this. Another meaning of this word, and I don't know how it's in this word, but another meaning of the word kindling means to bring forth young. To bring forth young. And in Isaiah 66:8, scripture says, for as soon as Zion, and Zion is really symbolic of the church, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And when the Bible speaks of travailing, that's really another symbol for praying. When the church prayed, she brought forth her young. When you pray in the Spirit, really, there's somehow or another, I'm not sure how it all works, but somewhere in there, you're in that kindling, you are bringing forth young. You are reproducing yourself. You are really giving life to other believers. And part of it works in that you're making supplication, making a supply of the Spirit available, a supply of God's power available for other people to receive. You know, people are saved by the blood of Jesus. They're not saved by your prayers, but your prayers can make power available, the Bible says. Dynamic power can be made available as you pray. And in that word kindling, I just thought that was very interesting. In that word kindle, it means to bring forth young. So even as you are praying over something, now think of this. If you're praying over, like I use the example of an usher on Saturday, he's praying and he's praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. He's going to come in here hot. is an usher. He's going to come in here hot to serve. But you know, the other part of it is he could very well be a person that leads somebody to the Lord. Or he could be very instrumental in a new baby in the kingdom. Isn't that interesting? Because really the goal of all of us serving is to multiply the kingdom. And so as we're hot in service, as we're hot and stirred up and passionate on the inside about what we're doing, babies will come in the kingdom. Babies will be born. So that's in there. I just thought that was really interesting. It was in that word kindle, stirring up the gift. And let me say this. I just saw this. Whenever you use the gifts that God has put in you, the ultimate goal of whatever gift is in you is for babies to come into the kingdom, people to be born again. So whether your gift is working in an admin position, or your gift is singing, or your gift is teaching, or your gift is, you know, comforting people, whatever the gift is that God's put in you, the ultimate end of that gift means when you're hot about it and you're pursuing it, the ultimate end of it is people will be born again. Or we can just all be flat. Let's get hot. And the way you get hot is by praying in the Spirit. Praise God. Well, we can stand. I'm not going to get to the rest. He that speaks in an unknown tongue kindles, ignites himself. He keeps his fire burning hot, and he brings forth spiritual children. We'll get to number three. I have at least six, and we only got to number two. So I'll tell you, number three is great. You're going to have to get number three. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful tonight that your Spirit lives.